This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Thursday, July 29th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. It's a privilege and joy to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Every Thursday, I always remind you that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday. American Olympian Caleb Dressel teared up on the gold medal stand while the national anthem played at the Tokyo Olympics after he won his first individual race at the Games, winning the 100-meter freestyle and setting an Olympic record while doing it. And all eyes will be on women's gymnastics today in Tokyo, although four-time Olympic champion Simone Biles won't be defending her individual all-around gold medal after pulling out of competition for mental health reasons. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by former Olympic athlete Dr. Bill Thierfelder, the president of Belmont Abbey College, to discuss sports as a school of virtue and how we too can be strong athletes for Christ. And today is the memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We'll talk about it with our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. And we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up here this hour on Morning Air. We start every show and every hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from James 1:12. The Apostle St. James writes, "Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." As Catholic Christians, we need to understand the redemptive value of trials and suffering. From my sports reporting days, I remember the great Notre Dame head football coach Lou Holtz, who once said, "I've never known anybody to achieve anything without overcoming adversity." And in fact, that is one of the most important things that we can consider. When you think of adversity, just think of all the athletes that are competing at the Tokyo Summer Olympics as we speak. Think of the adversity and the trials that every single one of them has faced. Every athlete has overcome many obstacles, and every saint has also overcome many trials and tribulations. The Lord gives us trials to test our faith. He will always give us the grace to bear our sufferings. All we have to do is ask Him. We always finish off praying, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now I want to talk about sports and faith, a relevant issue with all the headlines that have been going on all week long at the Tokyo Summer Olympics. My hero, St. John Paul II, who was an avid sportsman in his youth, was known as the athlete's pope. He called sport a school of virtue and a gift from God to mankind. And like JP2, the 19th century founders of the modern Olympics believed in sports as a training ground in virtue. The modern Olympic Creed in 1896 said, "The most important thing in the Olympic Games is not to win, but to take part, just as the most important thing in life is not the triumph, but the struggle. The essential thing is not to have conquered, but to have fought well." And now joining us is an old friend, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, to talk about sports as a school of virtue and how, like Olympic athletes, we too can be strong athletes for Christ. Dr. Thierfelder is the president of Belmont Abbey College. He has a master's and doctoral degrees in sports psychology and human movement from Boston University. Dr. Thierfelder is an inductee of the Sports Faith International Hall of Fame. He's a two-time NCAA All-American high jumper, Division I coach, and Olympian. Dr. Thierfelder is a Knight of Malta and currently lives just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, with his wife, Mary, a Dame of Malta, and their 10 children. Good morning, Dr. Thierfelder. Welcome to Morning Air. It's great to be with you once again.
Well, John, it is so great to hear your voice. It's been a while. I mean, I can't believe what I thought back to. Gosh, when was the first time we met? And it was back in Rome when they called the first sports and faith conference. John Paul II had created the church and sport department. And a very small group of us, but gosh, how much time has gone by?
It is truly amazing. I remember it so well, the first time I met you, and I was so impressed with your career and with your perspective on sports, of course, and business. In fact, I have your wonderful book less than a minute ago, a signed copy here with me in studio. So, yeah, we go way, way back. And, you know, you've had such an incredible career, Dr. Bill. Can you talk to us about what sports has meant for you personally over the years?
Well, you know, I think it's like all of us. I shouldn't say that. You know, I'll say in general, I think it's like all of us where, you know, you start off, you're in sport, which is, by the way, a form of play. But, you're doing the sport thing, and sometimes you may even be doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, maybe to prove other people wrong, maybe anger and so forth. But what I came to find over time is that the greatest minds of all time have talked about sport. Like, I always thought, isn't that interesting that every human being from the beginning of time has played? So, you know, you look at Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. I mean, people who you'd never think in a million years had anything to say about sport. Even Plato, you know, his one quote from him, he said, "For he who changes the sports is secretly changing the manners of the young and making the old to be dishonored among them and the new to be honored." I mean, even Plato back in 386 BC is talking about the power of sport. And then you got scripture, you got St. Paul talking about our bodies as temples and running the race and so forth. And that's because he lived in Tarsus where there was a palestra, which is an Olympic training center. You have St. Francis de Sales, St. John Henry Newman. I mean, it went on and on for me. And I came to realize that sport is a means for developing virtue. And it's actually a means for us to recognize God in our lives. It's not something that's a distraction. Sport is not the problem. It's us sometimes, the way we carry it out. But sport is a great, great good that God has made us for. He's made us to play.
I remember hearing an incredible quote by Pope Pius XII, who was known as the friend of sport. In fact, I believe it was you who shared it with me for the first time. Do you remember basically what Pope Pius XII had to say about sports?
Oh my gosh, he was unbelievable. His quote, by the way, which I know it by heart. But
it's so powerful. If you want to share it with us, Doctor.
It goes like this: sport, properly directed, develops character, makes a man courageous, a generous loser, and a gracious victor. It refines the senses, gives intellectual penetration, and steals the will to endurance. It is not merely a physical development, then. Sport, rightly understood, is an occupation of the whole man. And while perfecting the body as an instrument of the mind, it also makes the mind itself a more refined instrument for the search and communication of truth, and helps man to achieve that end to which all others must be subservient, the service and praise of his Creator. I think that is the greatest sport quote ever written, and I have shared that with, just as you have, I've shared it with millions of people at this point. And that quote, by the way, should be the mission statement for every Catholic sports organization and program in the world.
Absolutely. I'm totally with you. It is so powerful. Can you just break it down a little bit into a couple parts just to help us understand this incredible message of Pope Pius XII, who was known as the friend of sports? In fact, I believe he was the first pope to actually put a gymnasium into the Vatican.
Yes, you're exactly right. And to your point about the quote, what I love about the quote, right, is it starts off sort of in a generic way. You know, it starts to say, hey, you know, sport has these kind of good things. And by the end, it lifts it up to the very highest level that we can lift up anything in our lives. It's talking about this is the way, you know, for us to be, you know, to the service and praise of our Creator. So it takes it from this very generic level that has some good things associated with it, all the way up to this is how we love and praise God. I mean, a great example of how sport, I know we think of like nature and beautiful artwork and so forth that inspires us, has us think about ourselves, above ourselves, you know, something must be beyond us. Sport can do the same thing. And one example I give you is David Rhodesian, the 2012 London Olympics. He ran the half mile. He led from the beginning of the race, and he won in a world record time of 1 minute and 40 seconds. Now, I don't know if you know half mile times, but that is, it's almost unbelievable, except I saw him do it, right?
It's even more impressive than the old Roger Bannister 4-minute mile record.
It is. It's incredible. And if you watch it, you can go watch it on YouTube, right? I could watch that a million times because what you see in this man is the beauty of his body moving, of the courage, of the perseverance, of the discipline, of the things you talked about, all the preparation that went into being there. And yet what I looked at, what came to my mind as I watched him is that, wow, God made this man in his image and likeness. And so sport has this capacity to raise us up and have us contemplate God. So it is absolutely the wrong direction to go to say, hey, I see all this bad stuff in sport, and therefore sport is bad, and we shouldn't have anything to do with it. No, the problem is sometimes the people in it. It's not the sport. We were made to play. I mean, Proverbs 8 says, you know, I played before God. I played day after day. I was God's delight playing. And so play. God has made us to play.
No doubt about it. You know, you mentioned discipline. I mean, there's so many virtues that one can learn from sports, something that St. John Paul II, the athlete's pope, used to talk about so often. Let's just talk about one of the most important ones, and that's discipline. How has discipline impacted you when you draw from your experience as an All-American national champion high jumper? What does discipline mean for you today, and how has it affected your career in business and now in the academic world?
Well, you know, I think it's like all things in life, you know, virtue, it's like as John Paul II, as you said so eloquently, you know, talked about the school of virtue, you know, sport being the school of virtue. And it is, because it's this activity that could be good, bad, it could be anything. And if it's properly directed, it has this capacity to help us overcome ourselves, our, in a sense, our selfishness, our human nature that sort of wants to go with my impulsive pleasures or just sort of what I think is what I want right now for my happiness. When in fact, the only, and this is like, sometimes it could be a depressing statement or thought, the only time we are ever going to be happy, truly happy in our lives, is when we sacrifice. You know, if you don't sacrifice, it's momentary, maybe satisfaction or pleasure, but it passes immediately and there's nothing sustaining, there's nothing permanent about it. It's only through sacrifice. And by the way, another word for sacrifice is love. I mean, it's giving up something you could have kept for yourself to give up to someone else. So for me, in competing, what it helped me to do is the times you want to sort of give in to yourself and say, well, I'm tired. You know, I don't feel like doing that right now. Yeah, I know, but do it anyway, because here's where my reason comes in that tells me, well, you know what? I was made for something. God seemed to give me some abilities to do something. I'm at best a steward. I, you know, it's like, you know, Matthew 25:14-30, parable of the talents. I'm just trying to do the best I can with what he's given me, and therefore let me overcome my weakness and myself through the grace of God to do what he's called me to do, and to literally double the talents that he has given me. I don't have anything that he hasn't given me.
Well, Dr. Thierfelder, you wrote an amazing book less than a minute ago, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport, Business, and Everyday Life, with a foreword by Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, who won 3 gold medals for Team USA in basketball. What is the secret, if you could put it in a nutshell?
It's living in the present moment. You know, one thing I wish I knew this when I was competing. So anybody out there that's still competing, listen to this carefully. the secret to peak performance, if you want to be at your absolute best in the present moment, it's that you put 100% of all your focus and attention on the task at hand in the present moment. That is as good as it gets, right? So that's peak performance. What I had never put together is this. All of time is present to God. He's got no past and he has no future. So to the degree I remain in the present moment is the degree I remain in union with God. If I ruminate about the past or I get anxious about the future, I've left him because he's not in the past and he's not in the future. He's in the present. So it's a very comforting thing to know that when you are doing anything, whether it's as an athlete or you're working your job or your vocation, whatever it might be, when you are completely absorbed in that, giving all of your skills, talents, and abilities to it in the present moment, you are in union with God. God isn't somehow outside your activities or outside your life where we're going to take a time out and now go over there and pray as if the rest of life doesn't count. He's with us in this present moment. So there's something, I don't know, beautiful and comforting about that. So the key is to remain in the present moment. And as you know, today's world, everything wants to pull us out of the present moment. But that's where God is, and that's where your happiness lies.
Discipline, courage, honesty, a sense of duty, fair play, self-control, friendship, promoting peace, so many virtues that we can learn from sports. This is what Pope John Paul II used to teach us all. Can you talk about how we can, like the Olympic athletes, also be strong athletes, spiritual athletes for our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about virtue, it's a word, right? These are words that we say, like humility or, you know, fortitude or whatever virtues we want to pick out. But they're acts, like you're actually doing something. And in the doing, we have a word that describes that. So if you want to build yourself up, it's like strength training for the soul, right? When you first start lifting weights, you know, if you ever go to work out, anybody ever tried to do anything, whether it's get stronger or lose weight or whatever it might be, in the beginning, you know, you hardly can do anything. You feel so weak and you feel like, oh, that was so hard. I'm exhausted, right? But if you stick with it over time, you actually get in better condition cardiovascularly. You get your muscles get stronger. You actually feel a lot better. Well, the spiritual life, in some sense, is no different. We have to avail ourselves of the grace. I mean, it's raining down like Niagara Falls on us, so we don't have to worry about, is there enough grace? It's pouring down. We just got to cooperate with it. And so what it is really doing is the little things, like do that little bit of prayer. Like, okay, I can't take a whole rosary right now. Okay, well, don't think it's all or none. You know, like, how about a Hail Mary? I love that you started with the Hail Mary. Like, start with a Hail Mary. Maybe start with one decade. Just meditate on what the decade is that, you know, in that rosary, in that mystery. It's the little things that you do that over time build you up. So don't have this expectation that you have to be like the world champion the day you start. Just start a little at a time, and you'll find that in a very short order, you have gained that spiritual muscle.
And as athletes, we need to be fundamentally sound. As spiritual athletes for our Lord, we also have certain fundamentals that we have to actually practice and put into play, like confession, the Holy Eucharist, going to Mass, yep. Prayer. Talk about being fundamentally sound as an athlete and how it ties in to the spiritual life.
Well, I mean, I think you got to start in the beginning and just say, look, either does God exist or does God not exist, okay? And by the way, the vast majority of human beings believe God exists. So if God exists, then it must mean something. And so it's on us to use our reason and our faith to come to that deeper understanding of the fullness of the truth, which we believe is in the Catholic Church. But it's availing ourselves of these graces. In other words, I am insufficient in and of myself. You know, I am not the great I am. So I need help. And the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, I mean, think of what the Eucharist is. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And he has done this thing for us to allow us to actually receive him into us. I mean, to actually physically consume, to become one with him in the Eucharist. It is beyond almost our comprehension, you know, the finite mind trying to comprehend the infinite. But that grace of the sacraments, of confession, reconciliation, you talk about a world today where there's all kinds of psychological issues and they're very sometimes very serious. But confession, reconciliation can do so much to relieve us of, you know, our guilt or of our sense of, you know, being insufficient in some ways. And again, there's a real grace happening. It's not just some fake thing that we're going through. Grace is real. It is actual.
In the first hour, we talked with your friend, Monsignor James Shea, the president of the University of Mary, about several Olympic athletes that have shared their Catholic faith, including 18-year-old Grace McCallum, who was on our show talking about her love of praying the rosary and a special devotion to our Catholic faith. How impressed are you when you hear about some of these athletes in Tokyo that have a special love of our Lord and our Lady and are not afraid to share their Catholic faith?
You know, I love it, and I just wish that was the norm. I mean, that's normal. That's right, right? I mean, why it's unbelievable that we have to even point out that there are some people sharing their faith. It's like, wow, the reason they're there, the reason they have those bodies, the reason they were able to do the work that they had was because of the grace God gave them to have those. They're not like sort of doing God a favor, you know, by being there, any athlete. So the ones that are recognizing that are aware of it, are obviously a little further ahead, and a great example for us to see that, look, we don't have to be an Olympic athlete. Our every day of our life is like a competition. It's like sport, right? We're involved with whether it's our work life or our family life, our marriages with our children. I mean, it's all asking us to give everything that we have and to share that. And hopefully we're overwhelmed with gratitude. It should be pouring out of us. We should almost not be able to help ourselves because we're so overwhelmed with gratitude for what God has given us and our desire then to share that with others. We want everybody to know it.
Well, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your unique perspective on sports and faith and all these virtues that we can learn from these games. Thank you so much, Dr. Bill.
Well, John, you are the best. I love hearing your voice. You got a great radio voice, and
God bless you.
Great show. You got a great show and a great mission, and you have just done you know, God's work. So keep it up. You're doing great, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much. Absolutely, many blessings to you and all your work at Belmont Abbey College. Dr. Bill Thierfelder, the president of Belmont Abbey College and a former Olympic athlete. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, spiritual director Father James Kabicki will be joining us to talk about the memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Stay with us. There's much more to come here in the final half hour of this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, today we celebrate for the very first time the memorial of Saints Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Back in February, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, added this memorial to the general Roman calendar, giving the siblings the combined feast day of July 29th, which we're celebrating today. And now joining us to talk about this memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus is our spiritual director, Father James Kabicki. Father Kabicki is a Jesuit priest, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and a Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a longtime contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kabicki. It's always great to be with you once again.
Oh, thank you, John. Good to be with you, too, and to be with you on this special feast. It's a memorial, an obligatory memorial that the whole church is celebrating, and we always have the Feast of St. Martha on this day, July 29th, but the Holy Father, last February, added Mary, the sister of Martha, and Lazarus, their brother, to the celebration today. And I think there are a couple reasons for this. First of all, there had been a lot of theological reflection and research that went into the decision. In the past, the Mary that we see in the Gospel when Jesus visited the house in Bethany, many people thought that was Mary Magdalene, and so she already had a feast, which we celebrated on July 22nd, so the thought was, well, we don't need to add her to the July 29th celebration. But research and reflection has revealed that really the Mary Magdalene in the gospel is not the same Mary as the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And so the Holy Father, taking that as his cue, decided that in the future now we would celebrate this great family, these siblings, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, who were so important to Jesus. You know, before he went to his death, during the last days of his life on earth, and before he went to his crucifixion, he went to their house in Bethany, where, again, Martha was very busy with the details of hospitality, and Mary sat at his feet and anointed his feet. And that's where Judas complained, why was this money not spent on the poor? And Jesus said, well, you always have the poor there, but Mary is doing a beautiful thing. She's anticipating my death and anointing me in anticipation of that. So we have these great friends of Jesus who invite us to consider how important family life is, and that families are not self-enclosed units turned in on themselves, but are meant to be like Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, open to others, open with hospitality. And certainly, you know, as a priest, I have experienced that so often. Recently, I was in Wisconsin making my own retreat, and I also had a chance to visit with different families that I've come to know and to share meals with them. And, you know, being a celibate priest without my own children, without a spouse, it's so beautiful to be able to enter into the family life of others when they invite me in. So perhaps some of our listeners have had similar experiences where they have priests that they've been able to invite into their families, and I'd love to hear those stories if any of our listeners would like to share them with us.
Absolutely. If you'd like to share any stories, if you have any questions on today's feast day for Father Kubicki, you want to be just part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Father, it seems to me that it's kind of unusual to add to a feast day like what we're seeing, what the Holy Father Pope Francis did earlier this year. I mean, for all these centuries, we had the Feast of St. Martha. This is kind of an unusual situation to have all three of them now included on this feast day of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus.
Well, yes and no, John. It is unusual. It doesn't happen that often. But what we do see is the liturgical calendar develops over time. So we have recently canonized saints who are added to it. You know, every day of the liturgical year of the calendar has many, many different saints. And some of them are celebrated locally. Some of them are celebrated in different religious communities. And some of them are added to what's known as the universal calendar of the church. And so we always had Martha. As you mentioned, it is a bit unusual to add to her feast day to have Mary and Lazarus as well. But besides, this is basically extending it to the universal church, because there's a book called the Roman Martyrology. It's only in Latin, so I suspect that very few people have actually seen it or are using it. But in the Roman Martyrology, through the centuries, this day had listed not just Martha, but also Mary and Lazarus.
Wow.
So there was some...
Did not know that, Father.
Yeah, there's some basis for that in the Martyrology, which, again, includes all the saints who are celebrated on any given day, but not all of them are celebrated universally or in the liturgical way that we have now Martha, Mary, and Lazarus being celebrated.
And, of course, any one of us who has one of those old Lives of the Saint books, those old 1940 version, the dates for some of the feast days are different than what we have today. As you well mentioned, some of these things change over the years.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, one important change that we had recently as well, this goes back a few years, but the Feast of Mary Magdalene, which we celebrated on July 22nd, was given a greater significance. It was raised from the level of an obligatory memorial to the level of a feast day. And all feast days have the recitation or singing of the Gloria as part of the Mass celebration. And so Mary Magdalene's feast day was raised to this higher level. And the reason for it was this. Pope Francis, looking out at the 12 apostles, including Matthias, who took the place of Judas, that each one of the 12 apostles was celebrated not simply as an obligatory memorial, but as a feast day with the Gloria sung at the Mass or recited at Mass. And Pope Francis speculated, you know, that Mary Magdalene, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, a great theologian, some would say the greatest theologian in the church, he called Mary Magdalene the apostle to the apostles, because she was the first one to carry the news of Jesus' resurrection and brought it to the apostles, who then spread it into the world. So Pope Francis felt because St. Mary Magdalene was the apostle to the apostles, she should have the same level of celebration that the apostles have. And so she moved, as it were, up from an obligatory memorial to an actual feast day.
I think that's great that you are explaining to us the difference in the different feasts as we have the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother coming up in August. There are different levels of feasts, a solemnity, of course, being the greatest, Father.
That's right. So basically it goes with solemnities, and that includes feast days like Christmas and the Assumption, the Immaculate Conception, the birth of St. John the Baptist, which we just had in June. And some of these solemnities in different parts of the world are also considered holy days of obligation, in which the faithful are obliged to attend and participate in the celebration of the Mass, which we will have on the 15th. The 15th of August falls on a Sunday this year, and it's very rare that a solemnity would replace a Sunday celebration, but because the Assumption is so important, it replaces that Sunday readings and Sunday prayers. And so we go from a solemnity, which is the highest level, to a feast day, to an obligatory memorial, to an optional memorial, where some saints are in the universal calendar. They may not have as great a significance for the whole world that they should, that we're obliged to celebrate them and remember them on that day, but it's an option that we can remember them and celebrate them.
We're joined by our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. We're talking about today's memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Father, you asked our listeners to chime in if they wanted to share stories about priests that are close to the family. In fact, Pam is joining us from St. Charles, Missouri. Pam, good morning. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Good morning. I was calling because I have so many fond memories. I'm in my 50s, so it was when I was growing up, my parents on Christmas Eve would have an open house before midnight mass, and that's when midnight mass was truly midnight mass, and afterwards, and the priest would always stop by and visit with us, and also, they would drop in at times just to visit, you know, for no occasion. And there was one priest in particular that after he was moved to a different church, he kept contact, writing letters once in a while with my mom. And when she died, he wrote a beautiful letter about how much he respected my mom and what a wonderful woman of faith she was, and the friendship, how much it meant to him. And I thought it was normal that priests came over until I got older and realized that that doesn't happen very often with everybody.
That's right, Pam. And it is really tricky for many priests because in some cases they might receive a lot of invitations to come over to people's houses, and they can't accept them all, and then it becomes a matter of, well, you know, maybe the priest is playing favorites in the parish, and so he has certain people he visits with and others he doesn't. So I know some priests are a little reluctant, especially as we have less priests serving in our parishes, they're a little reluctant. But I think it is important for people to be open, as Mary and Lazarus and Martha were, and to invite the priest into their house, into their family, and not to be put off if the priest would say, no, I really can't do that, or I'm sorry. Not to take that as a rejection, but at least to offer that as a way of saying, you know, we appreciate your service to us, and if you're ever feeling lonely or left out, feel that you have a place to go to in our house. So thanks, Pam, for that great story.
Thanks so much, Pam. Father Kubicki, I've been blessed to know lots of priests over the years. In fact, I was telling our producer, Mariano, that we had a priest come over and actually bless my home studio with holy water. We put holy water all over the studio to make sure it ran properly. So having a relationship with priests and being able to invite them over for dinner is always a beautiful thing.
Yes, that's right. And again, you know, as we said, don't take it as a rejection if the priest says, well, I get so many invitations, or I really don't want to, play favorites in a parish. But just to make that invitation is a way of inviting priests and other people to share in the family spirit of our own families.
Absolutely. My question for our listeners, are you more of a Martha or a Mary? Give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Father Kubicki, we're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Father James Kubicki, talking about the memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
47 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Always good to be with you here as we continue our conversation with our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki. We're talking about the memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And Father Kubicki, as we talked about earlier, we can learn so much from these saints, especially when it comes to hospitality. That's why we want to invite our listeners. If you have any stories that you'd like to share with us about inviting priests who are friends of the family, give us a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149 if you want to talk about stories of priests that might be close to your family. Father Kubicki, what can we learn from these three saints that we are honoring here today, Saint Martha, Mary, and Lazarus?
Well, in the declaration for this new, let's say, level of feast for all three of these, the declaration says that they give us an important evangelical witness, and it talks about that in terms of welcoming the Lord Jesus into our homes, listening to him attentively, and believing that he's the resurrection and the life. And so I think, you know, Martha represents that active aspect, welcoming Jesus with hospitality, providing food and a place for him. But then Mary is the one who represents that what's traditionally been seen as a more contemplative approach, listening to him, being attentive to him. And often, you know, the two are contrasted as, well, Mary has chosen the better part. It's better to be passive and such. I think, and I said this in my reflection for today, my daily reflection, that I think it's more a matter of how Martha was serving, that she served not so much with an eye toward Jesus, but really with an eye toward herself. Because as it says in the gospel, this is Luke chapter 10, that she was anxious about many things. So she was going about the service, the hospitality, with an anxiety that shows she was thinking more about herself and perhaps looking good in front of our Lord than actually serving him. So with an eye toward the Lord, we can let go of worry and anxiety the way Mary did, sitting at his feet. So I think that's a big lesson, and you asked a great question before our break too, John. You know, are you more of a Martha person or a Mary person? Hopefully all of us have a combination of both, that we are both prayerful and attentive to our Lord in prayer, like Mary was, and that leads us then to be hospitable toward others, to be welcoming and loving toward others.
There's no question that being contemplative is a beautiful virtue to have in our faith, to be able to spend time in deep prayer with our Lord. But we also need to take our faith and put it into action. So it's not either or. We want to be both active and contemplative.
That's right. And, you know, the collect prayer, the prayer that we have at Mass today, is beautiful because it speaks about how Mary and Martha and Lazarus welcomed Jesus into their house as a guest. And then what we ask for is this, that by serving Christ faithfully in our brothers and sisters, we may merit to be received by our Lord into the halls of heaven. And so there's this sense that if we provide hospitality, the way Matthew chapter 25 puts it, you know, whatever you did for the least of my brothers or sisters, you did for me, that if we provide hospitality to our Lord in our brothers and sisters, members of the body in Christ and others, if we provide that hospitality to our Lord, he will be hospitable to us in his home, our home as well, our true home, which is heaven.
I'm so glad you brought up that scripture passage from Matthew 25 because it's so powerful and it's such a reminder that whatever we do to anybody, we're doing it to our Lord. Good or bad, we're doing it to our Lord.
That's right. You know, and I recently made my annual retreat and I used a book of reflections that Pope John Paul had written before he was Pope, when he gave a retreat to Pope Paul VI and the Roman Curia back in 1977. And in one of the reflections, he refers constantly to a document of the Second Vatican Council, Gaudium et Spes, number 22, where it says that because Jesus, the Son of God, united himself to the human race, to human nature, in a very real sense, he is present in every human being. And so, you know, there's a strong sense where we see in other Christians the body of Christ. We also, because he, the Son of God, has united himself in a human nature to every human being, we see him also in those who may not be Christian, but who are part of this race that Jesus united himself to, the human race.
Father Kubicki, in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, we read about the raising of Lazarus. It's an incredible story, and my favorite verse from that entire chapter is when our Lord says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, shall live." So deep. There's so much we can learn from this story of the raising of Lazarus by Jesus our Lord.
That's true, and I would invite our listeners to look at John chapter 11 because, you know, it's a beautiful reflection on Jesus' heart, I think, because we see Jesus crying when he's at the tomb. Even though he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he's crying because he sees the grief and sorrow of the people around him. And then it says two times in that chapter of John, chapter 11, two times it says that he was perturbed. And that's a word that means he was angry. He was angry, I think, at sin and what the effect of sin, which is death. And so he shows that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is victor over death and sin, that he has the power to break sin and death. And so this is where Martha shows a great faith, that she says, "Lord, I believe even now that Lazarus, my brother, has died, you have power I believe in that power of yours. And so this is another thing that we see with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, is this faith that Martha has. And Lazarus, you know, we don't hear too much about Lazarus. He seems like a very passive and silent figure in the Gospels. But what we can learn is that when Jesus called him out of the tomb, he came forth. And Jesus is calling all of us out of the tombs that we may have in our lives, whether it's grief over a lost loved one, or grief over our own situation, or some place of darkness in our lives. Jesus is calling us all out, like Lazarus, to come forth and to, even now, experience the power that he has over sin and death, and to believe in that power. So that's, I think, another great lesson we learn from these saints that we're celebrating today.
Can you imagine that scene as Lazarus comes out of the tomb when Jesus says, come forth, comes out with his feet and his hands in bandages, all covered up, looking like the mummy, and he's walking?
You can imagine the reaction of the people who were there crying and trying to console Mary and Martha over the loss of her brother. And, you know, Martha was pretty down to earth when Jesus said that he was going to call to take the stone away from the tomb so that Lazarus could come out of the tomb. Martha was concerned because she said, Lord, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. His body has begun to decompose. It's going to smell. And Jesus invites her to believe that he has power over that, over death, and what death does to our bodies. So it is a tremendous scene, and I can't remember the different movies where this has been shown, but I try to imagine in my own prayer being there when Lazarus came forth, and to the shock it must have been for the people who were there.
Father Kubicki, less than a minute to go. One final thought on this feast day, this memorial of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus.
Well, in the decree announcing this feast day, we're told also that, you know, summertime is in the Northern Hemisphere is often a time for families to come together, and we just celebrated the feast and the World Day of the grandparents and elders, and we have the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, and it's a great reminder to us that summertime is a time where we might remind ourselves more of how we can foster a family spirit, how we can come together, make Jesus part of our families. And as Martha, Mary, and Lazarus invited Jesus into their homes, to make sure that Jesus has a place in our homes and in our vacations. So I think that's a great thought and lesson that we should take from this feast day.
Absolutely. Well, as always, Father Kubicki, it's a joy to be with you. Thanks so much for your insights here as we reflect on this memorial of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. God bless.
Many blessings to you. Father James Kubicki, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, as well as a longtime contributor to Morning Air. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Serving to Give or Get. Selfish service is impressed with a big deal. True service finds it almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large service. Selfish service requires external rewards. True service rests contented in hiddenness. Selfish service is highly concerned about results. True service is free of the need to calculate results. Selfish service picks and chooses whom to serve. True service is indiscriminate in its ministry. Selfish service is affected by moods and whims. True service ministers simply and purely. Great verse about service from Matthew 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them in reply, Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me.
Powerful verse from Matthew 25. Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. Don't forget to join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary across America with all your prayers and petitions tonight at 7 p.m. Central and every night of the week. That'll do it on this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverins, for Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, and the entire Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow.